Today we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila, texts 44 through to 46, which is on the board, and also after that we do 47 and 48 and 49, and I have permission from the organizers to do that. I like several purports because they're short purports. So I will read 44. This is Murari Mahiti, the brother of Shiki Mahiti. He has nothing other than your lotus feet. Just to know Shika Mahiti, as if you were in the class yesterday, Vrindavan Chandra gave a wonderful class and he explained that Shiki Mahiti is one of the 3.5 very confidential servants, associates of the Lord. Who are the other 2.5? Swarup Damodar? Yes, and? Madhavi, who is? The sister of Shiki Mahiti, yes, that's correct. Text number 45. Here are Chandaneshvara, Singheshvara, Murari Brahmana, and Vishnudas. They are all constantly engaged in meditating on your lotus feet. And on the board, please repeat. Translation. This is Paramananda Praharaja, who is also known as Mahapatra. He is very, very intelligent. Purport. Prahararaja is a designation given to Brahmanas who represent the king when the throne is vacant. In Orissa, between the time of a king's death and the enthronement of another king, a representative must sit on the throne. This representative is called Prahararaja. The Prahararaja is generally elected from a family of priests close to the king. During the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Prahararaja was Paramananda Praharaja. There's always a crisis when someone in the position of authority leaves the office. We always have, like, we have the Prime Minister, we always have a Vice Prime Minister. In the United States, we have the President and then the Vice President. There's always someone in backup. In this universe, if there's not a qualified Lord Brahma, then Krishna steps in and takes that role. Text number 47. Esava Vaishnavi Kshetrera Bhushana Ekantabhavi Chinti Sabi Tomara Charana. All these pure devotees serve as ornaments to Jagannath Puri. They are always undeviatingly meditating upon your lotus feet. Tabi Sabi Bhumi Podi Dandavatana Saba Alingila Prabhu Prasada Kariya. After this introduction, everyone fell to the ground like rods. Being very merciful upon them all, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced each one of them. Henna kali aila tata bhavananda roy, chariputra sangi podi mahaprabhura paya. At this time, Bhavananda Roy appeared with 4 of his sons, and all of them fell down at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Purport. Bhavananda Roy had 5 sons, one of whom was the exalted personality known as Ramananda Roy. Bhavananda Roy first met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after his return from South India. At that time, Ramananda Roy was still serving at his government post. Therefore, when Bhavananda Roy went to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went with his other 4 sons. They were named Vaninath, Gopinath, Kalanidhi and Sudanidhi. A description of Bhavananda Roy and his 5 sons is given in Adi Lila 10:133-134. That sends the purport. Prahara Raja Mahapatra Ingha Mahamati Paramananda Mahapatra Inghara Sanghati. This is Paramananda Prahara Raja, who is also known as Mahapatra. He is very, very intelligent. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschachate Satarini Panchatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Sarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam Panchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hari Hari Hare Rama 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 Hari Hari. So I'm very grateful for the opportunity to speak, and I request all of your blessings so that I may say something relevant, something that's in line with Shastra. Hare Krishna. So this chapter is called The Lord's Return to Jagannath Puri. So as we know, Jagannath Puri is that special place where the Lord chose to reside in the later part of his life, when he was absorbed in the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani. Actually, throughout his life he was absorbed in this ecstasy, but it became particularly strong in Jagannath Puri. It is known as Vipralamba Kshetra, meaning it is the place where the Vipralamba Bhava, the mood of separation that Radha feels towards Krishna, is very, very prominent. So this place, Jagannath Puri, is where Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna in the mood of Radharani, is feeling separation from Krishna. And Jagannath is Krishna in the mood of separation from Radharani. So it's a nice combination. We have Krishna in the mood of separation from Radharani, and Lord Chaitanya, who is in the mood of Radharani, feeling separation from Krishna. Now, Mahaprabhu, he has been traveling through South India, and he's not finished his travels, but he's decided to come back, at least for a while, and stay in Jagannath Puri. So where do you think Mahaprabhu needs to go? There's some special place that he's not been to yet. Where would that be? He's not going to stay in Jagannath Puri. He's going to leave again. Where's he going to go? Vrindavan, yes. The pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, a large part of them are based on his desire to go to Vrindavan and how he didn't manage to go at the appropriate time. But later on, he finally succeeded in going to Vrindavan. That's his desire. Of course, it's the Lord's arrangement. Everything is by... He's known as Lila Purushottam, Krishna. All Lila is under his control. So it is not a... When we make plans, they don't always happen, and we get frustrated. The Lord appears to be like us, at least as Lord Chaitanya, because he has plans and they don't always come to fruition. Now, in the verse from yesterday, Pradyumna Mishra is mentioned. He's an interesting personality. He's also known as Nrisinghananda. And Mahaprabhu gave him that name. Why? Because Lord Nrisinghadev resided in his heart. And in meditation, Nrisinghananda, he was creating a jeweled path to Vrindavan for Lord Chaitanya to walk along. And in his meditation, he's building this road, and he gets to a place called Kanai Natashala, and his meditation breaks, and he realizes Mahaprabhu will not go to Vrindavan on this occasion. His meditation had broken, and true to form, that's exactly what happened. So this Nrisinghananda, or Pradyumna Mishra, he's a very exalted personality. Now, here's a question for you all. And there's any pundits in the audience, you'll be able to get it. Srinivas is sleeping. Srinivas, I'm going to ask you, I'm joking. He's not sleeping, he's just got his eyes closed. He'll know the answer for this. So the Lord's mercy manifested in three ways. Generally, it manifested as what's known as Sakshat. Sakshat means the Lord directly manifested. But he manifested in other ways. Anyone know the other means? There's two other ways. We have someone knows, but he's trying to remember. Come on. Okay. Sakshad means direct manifestation. Then there's Avesh, means the Lord enters into a person. So, for example, Nakula Brahmachari, he's given an example of Avesh. The Lord was present in the body of Nakul Brahmachari. So he exhibited certain extraordinary ecstasies because Mahaprabhu had entered his body. And there's a third manifestation of mercy, and that's Avirbhav. Avirbhav means the Lord manifests before a person or a group of people, even though he's not actually present. He may be somewhere else in India, but he manifests. So it said, Sachira Mandiri, Nichananda Nartini, Srivas Kirtani, Raghava Bhavani. These are the four examples of the Avirbhav manifestations of the Lord. So what that means is, for example, the Lord is residing in Jagannath Puri, but he's also present Sachira Mandiri, in the household temple of Sachimata. So she would offer food to the deity, and the Lord would personally be the present. Nichananda Nartini, whenever Lord Nichananda was dancing, the Lord was personally present. And Srivas Kirtani, in the kirtans at Srivas's house, the Lord was present. And Raghava Bhavani, so who's Raghava Pandit? Raghava Pandit and his wife, Damayanti, so they used to make these wonderful sweets, and Raghava Pandit would bring these sweets to Lord Chaitanya. Was it him or somebody? Either he brought them himself or he sent a messenger. I can't remember which. So Raghava Bhavani means in the house of Raghava Pandit, the Lord was personally present. So the mercy of the Lord can manifest like that. Now Pradyumna Mishra, who's mentioned in yesterday's class, he's another example of Avirbhava. The Lord personally manifested to him. And Prabhupada in one purport says, Lord Nrsingadev personally used to speak to Pradyumna Mishra, or Nrsingananda, as he was known, you see. So that's the mercy of the Lord. So what's the mood of this particular part of Madhyalila? It's a mood of the associates of the Lord are feeling separation. They've had a little bit of association of Mahaprabhu. And then he's travelled through South India, and they're feeling deep separation. Now that the Lord has come back to Jagannath Puri, naturally they're very anxious to see him. So where is the Lord residing? Anyone know? Kashi Mishra's house, yes. So Kashi Mishra is very fortunate. He counts his blessings that he has the privilege of hosting Lord Chaitanya. So who arranged this? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So remember, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was a very, very prominent scholar and Mayavadi, who then converted by the association of Mahaprabhu, he converted. And he was, if you like, the leader at Jagannath Puri. Even before he met Mahaprabhu, he was a great scholar, so he was in charge of the temple. So he's organizing. It's interesting, he's gone from being a Mayavadi to being the person, the Vaishnav, that's organizing the arrangements for Mahaprabhu. This is wonderful. So he arranged, and why did he choose Kashi Mishra's house? There's two reasons given. One is it's secluded, and the second is it's close to the Jagannath temple. So if you notice, Mahaprabhu's Leela, it's all about his tasting of mood. He needs to have associates who can facilitate his tasting of mood. For example, Ramananda Roy would speak beautiful poetry to enhance Mahaprabhu's mood of separation from Radharani. Swarup Damodar, he was like the, how should we say, he was screening to see who would get to see Mahaprabhu. He didn't want anyone unqualified to spoil the mood of Mahaprabhu. We have this example of a Bengali poet. He thought he was great. And some of Mahaprabhu's associates thought this Bengali poet's wonderful. And they wanted that he would recite his poetry, or Mahaprabhu would hear his poetry. Swarup Damodar, his job was he was vetting things. He was not interested. He didn't want to hear about this Bengali poet. But the associates of Mahaprabhu, they pushed and pushed. So finally, Swarup Damodara said, okay, show me this poetry. And then he read the first line, and he chastised this Bengali poet. The first verse is saying, Lord Chaitanya is the life force that has entered into the body of Jagannath. So Jagannath, a piece of wood, is the body, and Lord Chaitanya is the life force. And Swarup Damodara, he chastised him, said, this is bogus, this is not the correct philosophy. And he quoted from the Kurma Purana, Deha Dehi Vibhagoyam Neshvariva Jate Kva Chit. For the Lord, there is no difference between the body and the soul. The soul and the body are one and the same. So Krishna's body, Deha, and Krishna himself, Dehi, are actually non-different. So to say that Lord Chaitanya, or he, in the terms of the Bengali poet, he wouldn't be Lord Chaitanya, he'd just be Chaitanya. Chaitanya is like a jiva entering into the wooden form of Jagannath. That indicates a difference between body and possessor, which is not the tattva of Bhagavan, you see. So he chastised them. Then we have the servant Govinda. Govinda was facilitating the Lord when he was staying in the Gambira. That is later on, Anchalila. The Lord becomes increasingly internal in his meditation. So he needs someone to look after him. Govinda's a wonderful example. One time the Lord fell asleep at the doorway and Govinda did not leave. It was time for prasadam, but he did not leave. When Mahaprabhu woke up, he asked Govinda, why did you not just go and take prasadam? And Govinda said, I did not want to step over you, my Lord, because it's bad etiquette. And Lord Chaitanya said, but you stepped over me when you were giving me massage. And Govinda said, that is for your service. For your service, I will step over you. But for my gratification, taking prasadam, I will not step over you. This one time in Prabhupada memories, there was one of Prabhupada's servants, she was putting a picture in Prabhupada's room. And she didn't know what to do. She needed to reach higher. And she asked Prabhupada, can I stand on your seat? And Prabhupada said, for service, you can stand on my head. That's what he said. So it's like that. So this is how the associates of the Lord, they facilitate his bhav. So Kashimishra, he's very fortunate because he's going to provide a nice setting which is both near the Jagannath temple and it's secluded. Now, I read two purports. The second purport is describing Bhavananda Roy and his four sons. So why was Ramananda Roy not mentioned? Who remembers? Ramananda Roy is not present. Why is he not present? He was at work, yeah. He's the governor of Madras, so he's at work. So he's looking after the affairs there. Of course, he's had his darshan. He's had a long discussion. That's chapter 8 of Majalila with Lord Chaitanya. He's still performing his duties as the governor of Madras. Bhavananda Roy is an interesting character. Now, according to Gauri Ganadesh Deepika, he's none other than Pandu, who's the father of the Pandavas. And the five sons of Bhavananda Roy are none other than the Pandavas. So it's Bhima, Arjuna, Sahadev, Nakul, and the king, Yudhisthira. So they all manifested as Kalanidhi, Sudhanidhi, Vaninat, and Gopinat, and Ramananda Roy. So Ramananda Roy, he's considered to be Arjuna. It's funny that if you go to the Gaura Ganadesh Deepika, there's various descriptions of who Ramananda Roy is. Some people say he's Vishaka. Some say he's Lalita. He's also Arjuniya Gopi. And he's also Arjuna from the Pandavas. And they're all correct answers. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Later on in this chapter, there's going to be an interesting statement made by Bhavananda Roy, which stands out. I remember reading this about 10 years ago, and I was thinking that's quite an amazing statement. Bhavananda Roy tells Mahaprabhu, "You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead because you touched me and I'm a Shudra." So it's very interesting. The Orthodox Hindu culture at the time, you know, there was the untouchable class. So there were untouchable persons like Ramananda Roy. So he's actually said to be in the Karana class, which is a Kayasta class, Kshatriyas, who are also sometimes referred to as Shudra class. So because he's seen himself as a Shudra, then Ramananda Roy, Bhavananda Roy, they were like classed as Shudra, and the Brahmana class at the time, they wouldn't consider them to be high class. If we remember when Mahaprabhu met Ramananda Roy on the Godavari River, the Brahmanas were watching and they were amazed because they saw, who is this effulgent person embracing the Shudra, Ramananda Roy? And Bhavananda Roy, he's the same. He's been embraced by the Lord. But the Lord, you see the Lord's pastime, his infinite, his intimate associates, many of them were outcasts. Rupa and Sanatan, yeah. Nicha Jati, Nicha Sangi, Patita Adama, Kuvishaya Kupipodi, Janama Gonaino Janama. This is Sanatana Goswami. He says, my birth is low, my association is low. Actually, his caste is low, not his birth, Jati, because he was working for the Muslims at the time. So he considers Nicha Jati, I've lost my caste. Nicha Sangi, I'm associating with Mlechas. And therefore he is Patita, Adama, very fallen. And he's seen this way. And therefore, Kuvishaya Kupi, Podi, I've fallen into a well of sense gratification and I'm passing my life as such. So Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, low class considered. Haridas Thakur, he's born into this low caste, so to speak. He's Yavana. And who else is there? We have Ramananda Roy, Bhavananda Roy. So many of Mahaprabhu's associates, they're like this. And of course, while they are respecting this etiquette, like the Goswamis, he didn't enter, or Sanatana Goswami didn't enter into the Jagannath temple, Haridas Thakur didn't enter into it. But Mahaprabhu would come every day and visit Haridas Thakur. So they're in the Orthodox Brahmins, they're taking darshan of Jagannath on the altar. But the greatest devotees, Mahaprabhu, they can't go and see Jagannath. But Mahaprabhu's personally coming and visiting them. So this is by his actions, Mahaprabhu is teaching us that we're not so respectful of the rigid caste system. At the same time, he respected the benefits of the caste system. For example, this is stated in the 11th canto, Yad Arya Vachasa Yadagad Aranyam, that Mahaprabhu, he entered the forest on the curse of a Brahmana. Remember, there was one Brahmana who was not allowed to take part in Kirtan, and he was very angry. Therefore, he cursed Mahaprabhu that he wouldn't have any material happiness. So, in order to uphold the dignity of the Brahmin class, the Lord accepted this curse and made it come true. And how did he not have experience material enjoyment? He took sannyas. He renounced material life, and Yadagad Aranyam went to the forest. So before I gave class, I was singing Krishna, 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 hey. So Mahaprabhu would sing this when he was traveling. I thought it was very appropriate because on Monday, just past Monday, we had the wonderful installation of Ram Lal in Ayodhya. So I thought we'd sing a bit of Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshamam. It's nice. Of course, Mahaprabhu can enjoy all rasas. What does Rama Raghava mean to Mahaprabhu? I don't know. Does it mean Lord Ram? Does Raghava mean the Lord of Love, Krishna? Does Ram mean Radharaman? I don't know. Maybe it could mean actually Lord Ramachandra. For example, when before Mahaprabhu was speaking with Ramananda Roy, he went into ecstasy at a Nrsingadev temple. So the Lord has experienced all kinds of moods. Sometimes he's in the mood of Balaram, sometimes he's in the mood of Durga, he gets into the mood of Hanuman, etc. But if you actually study the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, these different moods that he goes into, that's in the earlier part of his pastime. But towards the later part, when he ends up residing permanently in Jagannath Puri, then you won't find these other moods coming, because he's increasing his mood of separation from Radharani. Radha Bhava Juti Suvalitam Naomi Krishna Swarupam. He's experiencing this wonderful taste, and he has to do it there. If he goes to Navadvip, there's all these other rasas going on. He has his parents, he has his friends, but he wants to only concentrate on the mood of Radharani. If he goes to Vrindavan, it's interesting, the effect of the holy dham of Vrindavan makes him turn into Krishna. His mood is Radharani, but then he becomes more in the mood of Krishna when he's residing in Vrindavan. So Madhavananda Prabhu, I was listening to one lecture, he explained that at Imlital, now Imlital is a place where Krishna sat, and he started adopting the complexion of Radharani in separation. When Mahaprabhu went there, he started turning blue. Lord Chaitanya started turning blue. And he realized, if I want to properly relish this Radha Bhav, I can't do it in Vrindavan, because this is my home as Krishna, and this is affecting me. So I mentioned before, Vipralamba Kshetra is the place, Jagannath Puri, especially for Mahaprabhu to taste this Vipralamba Bhav. And if you actually study Jagannath Puri, it actually is another Vrindavan. There are certain features that are present in Vrindavan, which are also present in Jagannath Puri. And although externally it looks like the Lord has been worshipped in opulence, which he is, as Jagannath, but Jagannath, the actual mood, there's a Vrindavan mood, is also there. So the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, when they go to Jagannath Puri, they're experiencing something different. They're experiencing this Vrindavan mood. Whereas other people who are maybe not Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they will experience the opulence of Jagannath, and they'll be in that mood. However, as Krishnadas Kaviraj says, Aishvarya Shatila Premi Nahi Mora Prita. Yeah? When we worship Krishna, or the worship the Lord, in Aishvarya, he's not ultimately satisfied. So we're very fortunate that we've been given this path, the Raga Marg. Mahaprabhu's come to teach Raganuga Bhakti ultimately, and we are very fortunate that we have this opportunity that we can actually enter into an intimate relationship with the Lord, free from the conceptions of awe and reverence. And that will come in due course of time. Srila Prabhupada is very clear on this, that it's not something that we should artificially imitate, it's something that will happen naturally within. So if we do our nice practice of sadhana, it will actually happen. And there's one time, an interesting story, Pladnanda Maharaj explains this, that he once wrote a letter to Prabhupada. Now, he hadn't been in the movement very long, so he asked Prabhupada, how does bhav turn into prema? So Prabhupada, he wrote back on gave him some other advice, and he said, regarding your question, how does bhav turn into prema, you should cut your fingernails, he said. In other words, he's saying, you know, if you want to get these elevated, you want to know these elevated topics, then you have to perform your sadhana very nicely. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Cleanliness is godliness. If we want bhav, we want prema, then we have to make sure that we cut our fingernails, we have shower, we get up early, we go to Mangal Arati, we do all this, we chant our 16 rounds, etc., etc. And we follow the loving exchanges. You know, this, it's interesting. If we had never come across the actual ISKCON society, we wouldn't know how the culture set up. If you gave someone the Bhagavad Gita, they wouldn't be able to figure out what we Hare Krishnas do. If you give someone the Bhagavatam, they probably won't figure out either. But if you give someone the Chaitanya Charitamrita, they read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, then they know what the Hare Krishnas do. Because Chaitanya Charitamrita is all about chanting, dancing, and honoring prasadam. So many pastimes of Chaitanya Charitamrita are all about this, which is exactly what we do in our society. And we chant Hari Bol. I mean, where do you find Hari Bol in the verses of Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam? You don't find it there. So the culture that we are, that ISKCON is modeled on, it's the culture that comes from Chaitanya Charitamrita. So devotee association is very, very important. And it said, Eka Bhagavata Bada, Bhagavata Shastra, Ar Bhagavata Bhakta, Bhakti Rasa Patra. There are two Bhagavatas. Last Monday, Srila Prabhupada was giving class, recorded class in the temple room. And he was explaining the meaning of Bhagavatam. This book is called, the Bhagavatam is called Bhagavatam because it's discussing the two Bhagavatas. Krishna, he's Bhagavata, and then the devotee is also Bhagavata. So if you take shelter of any of these Bhagavatas, you serve either of those Bhagavatas, then you will attain all perfection. So one Bhagavata is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. One of those Bhagavatas, Eka Bhagavata Bada Bhagavata Shastra. One of those Bhagavatas is the Bhagavatam. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, you serve the Bhagavatam. The other one is Bhakti Rasa Patra, which means the devotee who in whose heart all the mellows are being churned. So we need that association in order to enter into the deeper meaning of the book. See, these books are out of this world, literally. So then the question is, why do we not have such a strong taste to read? Part of the reason is because we haven't entered into it. And partly, the greatest way, the easiest way to enter into it is to have the good fortune to associate with someone who has already entered into it, who can then explain the scriptures based on their own realization and their own taste. You see? So it's a very deep topic. And if we don't understand this point, then the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya are hard to understand. For example, this section is really about devotees coming to meet Lord Chaitanya. They're all meeting him and it's like, okay, why are we discussing devotees meeting Lord Chaitanya? But you have to understand that there's some very, very deep emotional, spiritual, emotional exchange going on when the devotees meet Mahaprabhu. And if he's been traveling for several years, that makes it even more ecstatic. Actually, the beginning of this chapter, Krishnadas Kaviraj, he winds the clock back a little bit and describes what happened at the time that Lord Chaitanya left Jagannath Puri. He went travelling. At that time, King Prataparudra, he went to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and said, there is a very wonderful person. I want to meet him, this Lord Chaitanya. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, you're right, he is a wonderful person. However, he's taken sannyas, so he is not going to want to associate with you because you're a king. It's not easy to get his association. So, and at that time he also said to King Prataparudra, and also he has just left. He has just left Jagannath Puri and now he's travelling. And King Prataparudra said, why did you let him leave? You should have kept him here. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I can't make him do anything. He's svatantra. And the word svatantra means he's completely independent. What is the opposite word to svatantra? What's the word for it? Dependent. Paratantra, yes. So we're jivas, we're paratantra, we're dependent on the Lord. I once saw a meme on Facebook. It said, if you want to make the Lord laugh, tell him your plans. We all make plans and they never happen because the Lord, he's perfect. He knows what's best for us. Trust his plan. You may decide to make a plan. It's not going to happen. Krishna's plan always happens. I mentioned that Mahaprabhu looks like his plans are being thwarted. He's trying to go to Vrindavan. That's his longing. But actually, that's just a leela. So what's King Prataparudra's longing? His longing is to have darshan with the Lord. But he has to wait. Who knows when he had darshan? You know the pastime? Yeah. It's explained in chapter 14 of Majjalila. After the Rath Yatra, the Lord rested in the Jagannath Vallabha Gardens, and by a prearranged plan, King Prataparudra took off his opulent clothes and dressed as a Vaishnav. The word Vaishnav Vesh is used in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's sometimes a point of discussion. Is there such a thing as Vaishnav dress? We won't go into that here. Anyway, he's described, he dressed as a Vaishnav, and the Lord was lying there, and then King Prataparudra started to chant the Gopi Gita. It's from the 10th canto. And then he got to the verse, Tavakatam ratam tapta jivanam kaviriditam kalmasapaham shravanamangalam shrimadatatam bhuvigrinantiye puridajanaha. The gopis are wonderful. The gopis are preachers. They sing to those who are afflicted by material distress, who are burning, then your kata, they're talking about Krishna. Krishna kata is going to soothe them. This Krishna kata is spoken by the great sages. It's Shravana Mangalam is all auspicious. And in Burida means the magnanimous people. We should all try and become Burida. We have to give our lives to serving the Lord. Etavaj janmasa palyam dehinam ihadeshu prana arta diavacha shreya acharanam sada. Krishna tells the gopis, the highest welfare you can do, the highest thing you can do is to devote your life to the service of others. Pada arta diavacha, with your words, this is pada. Prana, your life, prana, arta, your wealth, dia, your intelligence, and vacha, your words. So this is the purpose of life, and this is Krishna's instruction. So we should actually follow this. I think it was part of the Prabhupada Marathon that was prana, arta, dia, vacha, was written somewhere. I saw it in one of the notices. So how do we give our life? Well, we used to say, just give this one life to Krishna. You know, we shouldn't be scared. And we live, ISKCON is now how old? Over 50 years old. In the early days, people were a lot more fanatical, which had its advantages and disadvantages. There was a lot of burnout. People would leave. It's like a revolving door. I mean, it still is in some sense. But there was a certain level of ecstasy that some of the devotees would get because they really, really tried to surrender in ways that we don't even try. So in those days, it was common to say, just give this one life to Krishna. Now people come in and say, do your studies, get your job, get married, come to the temple, and we have a different, we tell people different things now, which, as a long-term strategy, might be the right thing to do, but might not be, because you might be missing out on some really real nectar that you get when you surrender more fully. In the old days in ISKCON, the brahmachari ashram was respected, properly respected. And after a while, they said they're fanatics, and they started taming the brahmacharis. Now they're more low-key and behind the scenes. They're not so loud. They're not preaching their give up, don't get married. We don't hear that so much now. But there's pros and cons. So prana, if you can give this one life to Krishna, then Krishna will undoubtedly reciprocate. Yoga kshemam vaham yaham. That's his promise. So we give our life to Krishna. Arta, give our wealth. Prabhupada is very strict. He said, for members of our society, you should give 50% of your wealth. Now, I've had discussions with devotees about this, and they say to me, that means after all your expenses, everything else, all your food, everything else, whatever's left, you give 50%. But I read Prabhupada's statement, where Prabhupada said, regardless of how much you earn, you should give 50% of that to the movement. So which associate Mahaprabhu was very poor, but also was always giving? Kolavecha Sridhar? Kolavecha Sridhar, he's just a poor banana leaf. He's selling banana leaves. Kolavecha, or Kola. Kola means banana. Kolavecha Sridhar. So he's very poor, and the Lord would haggle with them. And he would still, even though he was very poor, he would always make sure he gave in charity like this. So regardless of how much wealth you have, you should always try and give 50% to spreading Krishna consciousness. So prana, artha, dia, use your intelligence. Like the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, those who read the Bhagavad Gita, who study this conversation, they are worshipping me with their intelligence. So when we study scripture, we're using our intelligence, prana, artha, dia, and vacha. When we spread Krishna consciousness, when we speak to people, we tell them about Krishna, then that is vacha. We're using our words in the service of Krishna. So Krishna tells the gopis, prana, artha, dia, vacha, shreya, acharanam, sada. It is the highest welfare activity. It is the greatest thing you can do for yourself and do for others. So in the same way as the gopis, they were saying the same thing. They're in the Gopi Gita. They're saying, Bhuvi grinantiye bhuri da janaha. The magnanimous people, they're always spreading your glories. So when King Prataparudra, he sung that verse, which is the seventh verse of Gopi Gita in the 10th canto, Mahaprabhu just lost it completely and he just stood up and embraced King Prataparudra. So the king finally, after yearning to have the association of Mahaprabhu, finally his moment came. And then later on, Mahaprabhu goes to Vrindavan. He has his moment where he approaches Vrindavan. His ecstasy increases and increases. And finally, Mahaprabhu goes to Vrindavan. So we all have these desires. And we should have the same. We should have desires in our Krishna consciousness that we really want fulfilled. If we desire something, that's a sign that we're hankering for the right thing. Now, desire and association, this whole section, Ajalila 10, it's really about the Lord and the Lord's associates having nice interactions after years of separation. We think of separation in Krishna's pastime. Krishna leaves Vrindavan, and then the residents of Vrindavan are feeling separation from Krishna. But actually, we have this separation of the devotees of Jagannath Puri. They're feeling separation from the Lord. So the Lord will continue his travels, and then he'll return. And when he returns to Jagannath Puri, that's it. It's over. He's now going to really get even more deeper into meditation. It's actually the final 18 years of his life. He said that the Majjalila is the 6 years where he's traveling. Then the Anchalila, that's the 18 years where he then resides in Jagannath Puri without leaving. And in that time, at first, he's still very much spreading the Yuga Dharma, Harinam Sankirtan, going to the temple regularly. But as the pastime progresses, he becomes even more eternal, and he spends more time in states of madness in the Gambira, and he's listening to the poetry of Ramananda Roy. And he doesn't need to spread the Yuga Dharma anymore because it's already been done. As Advaitacharya said to him, rice is no longer selling in the marketplace. You know? In other words, he said, you've actually completed your mission of spreading the holy name. And it was shortly after that that the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya were then wound up. So who knows, the first verse of Chaitanya Bhagavat describes Gauranitai as the Sankirtan fathers, Ajanu Lambita Bujo Kanakavadata Sankirtanaika Pitarao Kamalaya Taksho Vishvambarao Dvijabaro Yugadharma Pala Vande Jagat Priyakaro Karunavataro. Beautiful verse. Let's go through this verse. It's a wonderful description of Gauranitai. The first statement, Ajanu Lumbita Bhujau. So if you know Sanskrit language, the ending au is for the dual, because there's two of them, all the words are ending in au. So this first phrase, Ajanu Lumbita Bhuja, means someone whose arms extend down to the knees. So when I stand up, my hands go down halfway between my hip and my knees. But Gauranitai, longer arms, and they extend down to the knees. There's a phrase, a very exalted personality is someone, according to physiognomy, is someone who measures 4 cubits in breadth and in height. So what that means is, if you take the hand, the measurement of the hand, 4 of those sideways, that represents the span of their body, and 4 upwards represents their height. So someone who has that measurement is known as Nyagroda Parimandal. So it's said that Mahaprabhu was Nyagroda Parimandal, which must mean he had very big hands, because 4 spans of the hand to make his the distance from one arm to the other, and height. So he was approximately 7 foot tall, so imagine how high, how long his arms were if they spread out 7 foot in total. So the Gauranitai there, Ajanu Lumbita Bhujau, and then Kanakavadatau, they're golden in complexion. Sankirtanai Kapitarau, they're the fathers of the Sankirtan movement. Kamalai Atakshau, they have beautiful lotus eyes. Vishvambarau means they are maintaining the universe. So we think of Lord Chaitanya as Vishvambar, but here Lord Nityananda is also Vishvambar. So 2 Vishvambars make Vishvambarau, double, dual. Vishvambarau, Dvijavarau, best of brahmanas. Yugadharma Palau, and they're protecting the Yugadharma. So what is Yugadharma? Harinam Sankirtan, chanting, yes, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And I often mention this. Kali Yugi Yugadharma Namara Prachar. There's another aspect to the Yugadharma, and that's Prachar, which means propagation. So taking that meaning, you may not be chanting Hare Krishna, but you may be spreading Krishna consciousness. That is also Yuga Dharma. Kali Yugi, Yuga Dharma, Namara Prachar. How to spread the holy name? If you distribute Prabhupada's books, you're spreading the holy name. That is Namara Prachar. Therefore, that is also Yuga Dharma. You see? So going back to this verse from Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vishvambarao, Dvijavarao, Yuga Dharma Palau, Vande Jagat Priyakarao. So Jagat Priyakarao means he's the benefactor of the universe. The wonderful, you know, that material life is all about scarcity. There's a wonderful verse in the 10th canto describing the autumn season. And it said that when there is abundance, the capitalists are morose. You see? Imagine imagine the earth provides all the fruit and vegetables that's required. Then no one needs to go to work, because you can just eat what the land brings, you just eat. So the capitalist likes scarcity, because the capitalist can capitalize on that. That's why they're called capitalists, right? They capitalize on scarcity, and therefore when there's a shortage they can sell at a large price. So when the earth provides, like Satyayuga, the earth naturally provides, you know, seeds. It's said that in Kali Yuga, fruits are mainly seed and not enough flesh. You know, but in Satyayuga, the seed is mainly flesh. Then the bad bit is hardly there. Mahaprabhu manifested these mangoes. He grew a mango tree, and the mangoes, they had no seed. It was just pure pulp. So in Satyayuga, it's like that. Therefore, there's no need for economic development. So scarcity means we have to work hard. So why did I say that? I was talking about Vrindavan in the autumn. how the capitalists were morose. So why did I mention it? I've lost my thread. Anyway, I was going to say. Oh yes, Jagat Priya. I was describing how one of the lords are benefactors of the universe. So what I was going to say is, when you tap into spirituality, then there are no losers. There's no scarcity. Everyone benefits. So it said, dira dira priyajanau, that the Goswamis were dear to everyone. They were so pure that even if someone was a ruffian, just by their association, they would benefit. They would feel enlivened. So spiritual life is like you're turning on the tap, all this nectar is flowing from the spiritual sky, and it's unlimited. So there's enough for everyone to get nectar. But in the material realm, there's scarcity. So material life means scarcity, spiritual life means everyone benefits. You see, it's like that. So therefore, when Gaura Nitai, they are spreading the Krishna consciousness movement throughout every town and village. Nitai, he's doing it where? Bengal, you know, Bangladesh. Nitai, he's going in, that's his particular service to Lord Chaitanya, to spread the Yuga Dharma in that particular area. And Mahaprabhu's doing it through South India. Wherever he goes, he's doing it. Jari Deki Tarikaw, Krishna Padesh, his associates are doing it too. And therefore, when that was going on, there was no losers, and there was no need for economic development. What is that? It says, Chari Purusharta, Tulya, Agi Trina, Agi, I can't remember exactly how it goes. It's saying that the fourfold Purusharthas are like bits of grass. They're insignificant. They're tiny. In other words, the Panchama Purusharta, that's Krishna consciousness, is the fifth goal. That is the only thing that's of value. And the other four, Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, they're like grass. They're just insignificant like grass. So we'll almost finish. We've got 10 minutes left. I'll just say a little bit more about the sons of Bhavananda Roy. So Gopinath is also known as Gopinath Patanayaka. So there's a chapter in Anchulila all about Gopinath Patanayaka. Does anyone remember this? What's he famous for? Okay, so he was almost executed. What happened was he usurped some money from the treasury of King Prataparudra, and the son of King Prataparudra, he tried to get this back, and then there was a dispute between the two of them, and the son, he was a bit proud, he went to King Prataparudra and explained that this Gopinath Patanayaka had stolen from the king's treasury, and he said he wanted to punish Gopinath Patanayaka. King Prataparudra said, do whatever you see fit, as long as you secure, you get the money back. So this son of King Prataparudra, he arranged that Gopinath Patanayaka was raised above some swords. It's called the chunga. It's a way of executing. You would throw the person onto some upraised swords. That was going to be this punishment for stealing. So the devotees of the Lord, they were coming to Lord Chaitanya and going, this is your devotee, Gopinath Patanayaka. He's the son of Bhavananda Roy. He's the brother of Ramananda Roy. You have to save him. You have to save him. And Mahaprabhu's like, what can I do? I'm just a sannyasi. If the king is going to punish him, the king punishes him. That's his just punishment. And it's funny, interesting, because King Prataparudra, he's also a great devotee of the Lord. But it's his son who's arranging to execute the Gopinath Patanayaka. So you have the devotees, and there's all this politics going on amongst devotee community. One set of devotees, another set of devotees. So it's kind of really hard to understand what's going on here. Of course, Mahaprabhu, this is all a lila. By his arrangement, he arranged for someone to approach King Prataparudra and explain, you know, Gopinath Patanayaka, he's a devotee of the Lord, and he's about to be executed. And King Prataparudra said, look, I never wanted him to be executed. I just wanted to secure to get the funds back, you know. So he was taken off the chunga and he lived. So we know Krishna's pastime, it's all about people getting killed, right? Krishna's killing, 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 cutting people's heads off. But in the Mahaprabhu's Leela, the killing is done through another way. We kill what? We don't kill the person, we kill what? We kill the demonic spirit. Yes. So the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya are all about killing the demonic spirit. So it said, Krishna Varnam, Tusha Krishnam, Sangapangastra Parshadam, Yagyai Sankirtana Praya, Yajantihi Sumedasaha. That in the sage of Kali, those who are really intelligent, they perform the Sankirtan Yagya, Yagyai Sankirtana Praya, and as a way to worship the Lord who appears, Krishna Varnam, in the Tusha Akrishnam. He's not blackish in complexion, he's golden in complexion, and he appears Sangopangastra Parshadai with his confidential associates and his astra. So I've asked this before, what is the astra of Lord Chaitanya? I mentioned there's no death sentence in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. People aren't getting their heads cut off. So what is the astra? Krishna's beauty, correct. And there's three answers, that's one of them. Krishna's beauty. The idea here is, Lord Chaitanya is so beautiful, just by seeing him, your demonic spirit would just disappear and you'd become a devotee. So that was the weapon of beauty. Beauty is a weapon, as the women know, right? When a woman wants to get what she wants, she can use our beauty as our weapon. What are the other weapons? Two other weapons. Astra doesn't just mean beauty. Lord Chaitanya's weapons, anyone know? Mercy? Mercy? Wasn't what I was thinking. Maybe it's there. The holy name is the astra. The holy name will destroy the demonic spirit within the heart. And the third answer is given. Srila Prabhupada gives these answers. The third answer, the associates of the Lord are his astra. In other words, his mission is to spread Krishna consciousness and his weapon is his associates. So we all have the opportunity to become an astra of Lord Chaitanya. Does that sound like a good idea? Shall we dedicate ourselves to becoming one of the astras of Lord Chaitanya? Just think how much mercy we will get, how we will please the Lord. Because I remember Bhagavata Shri used to live here, and he used to say, the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya are still going on. We are living in the modern day pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And if we think of that, then we can be Lord Chaitanya's astra. Astra. Astra, not astra, astra. Astra means weapon. Shastra means weapon. Shastra means the law book. So both these words come from the shastatu, which means to control, to chastise. So there's two ways you can control a person. You can control, if they're intelligent, they are controlled through shastra. The law, they read the law book and they follow. And if someone doesn't want to follow the law book, then shastra, weapon, you use punishment to make them follow, you see. But they all come from the term, the shastatu, which means to discipline. Like we have the word shishya, means someone who voluntarily undergoes discipline. You see. And then we have shiksha, words like that. Anyway, I've said enough. Thank you all for your patience. Appreciate your patience. And thank you to those listening online. So if you'll just, I'll just finish by giving you your homework. So your homework is to memorize the three types of mercy that the Lord showed. Shakshat, direct manifestation. Avir Bhav, he manifested even though he wasn't personally present. And Avesh, entered into the body. It's the Lord's mercy manifested in these three ways when he was present on the earth. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaura Paramada.